Radio Prague News.
The Czech culture minister Pavel Dostal has died. One Czech has been killed in Egypt's Red Sea resort bombings, and 100 Czech holidaymakers have returned from Egypt on board a Czech airline special. The Czech culture minister Pavel Dostal, an anti-communist dissident playwright turned politician, has died after a year-long battle with cancer at the age of 62. Pavel Dostal died on Sunday morning at the Masaryk Oncology Institute in Brno, where he had been receiving cancer treatment after he had a tumor removed from his pancreas last autumn. Pavel Dostal was the longest-serving minister in the Czech cabinet. He served as culture minister since 1998 under four prime ministers. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek said that Pavel Dostal was an excellent minister, a real servant of the state. He was a tireless political personality, but also a good husband and father. Czech diplomats in Egypt are still searching for potential injured Czech citizens in local hospitals, but Czech travel agencies have not reported any missing people after Saturday's blasts in Egypt's Red Sea resort of Sharm el-Sheikh that killed at least 88 people. One Czech national, a 23-year-old man, died, and one other was injured in the explosions. The Czech airline special that was sent to Egypt on Saturday with medical personnel and a psychologist on board has returned to Prague and brought back 100 Czech tourists who decided to cut short their stay in Egypt. Among them was also the man who sustained light injuries in the blasts. According to estimates, there are between 1,500 and 2,000 Czech holidaymakers in the area, staying in about 40 different hotels. President Václav Klaus has condemned the terrorist attack in Egypt, which killed at least 88 people, including one Czech. In a telegram sent to the Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, President Klaus said this bloody and cowardly act proves that terrorism is one of the most dangerous phenomena our civilization is facing. Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda has called on Czech citizens to avoid travelling to Egypt in the immediate future. Prague Mayor Pavel Bém has said that the weekend's anti-flood exercise showed that the city can be ready to cope with flooding in half a day. It took rescuers precisely half a day to erect barriers along the Vltava River to protect the city, Mr. Bém said. Some 500 firefighters and police officers raised 2.5 kilometers of portable aluminium walls, which are designed to protect the city, against an 11-meter flood wave, the level which the Vltava River reached during the 2002 floods that cost the city 26 billion crowns. The massive exercise, at an overall cost of 2 million crowns, started on Friday evening and ended on Sunday afternoon. I'm Pavla Horáková, and that's the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, and I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in the next 25 minutes or so, a session of your letters with Pavla Horáková. That's followed by a letter from Prague by David Vaughan, who'll tell you how difficult it is to give your child an unusual name in the Czech Republic. And then you can sit back and let Petr Doruška take you off on a magic carpet trip. This time he'll be introducing the popular band Čechomor, which produces Czech and Moravian folk music with a taste of Japan and Ireland. All that coming up, stay with us, it's letter time.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague's mailbox program, in which we read from your letters and answer your questions. First of all, let's hear two views on the role of international radio, sent to us by our listeners, as part of a debate we launched earlier this year. Mr. Deep Prabhu from the Indian state of Tamil Nadu writes,
"Although this is the age of multimedia, in our part of the world, radio is still the cheapest and fastest way to get information and to know what's happening around the world. Thank you very much for informing, entertaining and educating us."
And Radio Prague's regular listener, Mr. Mukesh Kumar, who describes himself as a radio enthusiast, has sent us a newspaper article on a study proving that watching too much TV makes children do badly at school and reduces their chances of completing their degree.
Therefore,
Mr. Kumar writes,
"Go away from the stupid box and stick with your shortwave receiver."
Thank you very much for those comments. And Mr. Kumar also has a question to ask.
Which tree is the Czech national tree?
The Czech national tree is the linden tree, lipa in Czech or tilia cordata in Latin. It is a honey-producing tree up to 30 meters tall, which can live for several centuries. Linden trees are usually planted in avenues, or you can find a linden tree standing on its own in the middle of a field. At the moment, linden trees here in the Czech Republic are just past their blossom time. They are usually in bloom around the time of the summer solstice, and in the evenings, the air around them is filled with a wonderful smell. That is, if you're not allergic to pollen, like, for example, Mr. Junji Kondo from Japan, who sent us this email.
I suffer from pollen allergy. Recently, I was on a trip to Germany and my allergy suddenly stopped. Do Czech people have such kind of allergy? Nowadays, many Japanese wear masks on the nose and mouth to prevent pollen from coming in.
Well, according to data published on the website www.allergia.cz, around 20% of Czech population suffer from some kind of allergy, that is, some 2 million people. And among children, the number is even higher and still rising. Also, there are some 500,000 people suffering from asthma. And now on to a different topic. Mrs. Blaženka Ostratsky from the United States has sent us this question.
When is the Sokol Slet in 2006? I and my family would like to attend.
Well, the big festival of the Sokol sports movement, known as Slet, will start on Saturday, July the 1st, 2006, and last for a week until the 7th of July. The 14th Slet will be opened at a ceremony in Prague's Saska Arena. The main gymnastic exhibitions will take place on the 5th and 6th of July at Strahov Stadium, which was actually built before the war especially for the Slet. The Sokol movement was founded in 1862 by Dr. Miroslav Tyrsch and Jindřich Figner as a sports organization, but it always stressed all-round fitness, morality and patriotism, the ideals of the time of the Czech national revival. The first festival, or Slet, took place on June the 18th, 1882, on Strelecký island in Prague. 700 men exercised under the leadership of Miroslav Tyrsch and some 1,600 Sokols dressed in national costumes formed a procession. And if you'd like to find out more information about Sokol, the whole movement and its history, the official website is www.sokol.com. That's sokol-cos.cz. And there are English pages where you can find basic information on the history of the movement. And we'll stay with history as it's time now to repeat Radio Prague's listeners' competition question for July. On June the 10th, 1923, a boy called Jan was born in Czechoslovakia's easternmost province of Ruthenia, now part of Ukraine, close to the Romanian border. The family was extremely poor, and in his adult age, our man claimed he had got his first pair of shoes at the age of 7. Both his parents died in a Nazi concentration camp, but young Jan managed to escape to Britain, where he joined the armed forces and changed his name. He started a career in publishing, and he was a Labour MP between 1964 and 1970, but he was most popular for having built a publishing empire that spanned the world. In November 1991, he died under mysterious circumstances. Who was he? You have one more week to send us the answer to the usual address, Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or to english@radio.cz. And one more thing before we leave you today. In his reception report, Mr. D.M. Cook from Scotland mentioned the interview with the Scottish-born, Prague-based composer Geraldine Mucha we broadcast earlier this month. Mr. Cook said it was interesting to hear her arrangement of the old Scottish tune Over the Sea to Skye. So here is the Skyboat song in Geraldine Mucha's arrangement.
Pavla Horáková, who's ready to answer any question you put to her, even if it means surfing the net for hours or digging up weighty encyclopedias. She'll be back same time next week, so keep those questions coming. Meanwhile, we're offering you a letter from Prague. No questions asked, just an interesting story as told by David Vaughan.
The other day I got a text message on my mobile phone from Czech friends to let us know that they'd become proud parents of a healthy little girl, weighing in at 3,320 grams. They added that they'd decided to call her Madrun, spelled M-A-D-R-U-N. Madrun, they explained, was a medieval Welsh saint. Well, I'd never heard of her, but I certainly agreed that it was a pretty name. The next day our friend Dana got in touch with us again. The authorities won't allow the name, she explained. Is there anything you can do to help? After a quick search on the internet, I found 3,220 references to Saint Madrun, almost as many as the number of grams making up the weight of the saint's latter-day namesake. Sources, including several in Welsh, confirmed that Madrun, also known rather less prettily as Matriana or even Matron, hailed from what is today the Welsh county of Monmouthshire, way back in the 5th century, and had also, so legend has it, lived in Cornwall. I also discovered that there are two Cornish churches dedicated to her, although the achievements that earned her sanctity remain veiled in the obscurity of the Dark Ages. I phoned Dana with the good news, only to hear her bad news. She too had already surfed the web, but had been informed that the internet was not an adequate source, whoever the author may be. Dana was told that there was only one person in the Czech Republic entitled to approved names not on the official Czech list, if you'll forgive the pun. She is a lady in her 80s who most definitely, and perhaps not entirely unwisely, does not approve of newfangled electronic methods of information gathering. While Dana checked up on the law and found that, yes, this woman really was the Czech oracle when it came to approving names, I decided to contact the rector of the little Anglican church of St. Madrun in the depths of rural Cornwall. She got back to me straight away, congratulating my friends on choosing such a lovely name and confirming that her church really was dedicated to the Celtic saint. She also had a good tip for us. She had a quick look in her 1982 edition of the Oxford Dictionary of Saints and confirmed that there was a reference to Madrun. So all we needed now was to get hold of a copy to present proudly to the Lady of the Names. I contacted an Anglican priest living here in Prague, but he replied with just a hint of scorn that he didn't have the book, and that hagiography was not his cup of tea, and that there were rather a lot of dubious Cornish saints. In the end, it was once again the internet that came to the rescue. Dana and her husband Jakub have now ordered a copy of the Dictionary of Saints on the web, and hopefully it's now on its way to them. So here's to Madrun.
Here's to Madrun indeed, and let's hope she grows up to love her name. Thank you for that, David. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech capital, which you might have guessed anyway by this week's choice of music in Magic Carpet with Petr Doruška.
Hello and welcome to Magic Carpet, bringing you music from Czech Republic. Czech and Moravian. These two adjectives define two distinct regions in what is today called Czech Republic. Moravia, situated in the eastern part, is well known for its beautiful folk songs, vineyards and wine cellars. For a band playing traditional songs from both regions, it was very natural to call themselves Czech and Moravian Musical Society. During the past decade, they shortened this rather uncomfortable name to Czechomor, and a few weeks ago they released their new album. What happened next?
Hey, 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 hey
Chechomor in a humorous warning to a young man. Do not marry that rich old crone, the whole village will laugh at you. As most of the material for their album, the band found this traditional song in an almost 2 centuries old songbook and recorded it with singer Lenka Dusilova, who is the most frequent guest on both Chechomor concerts and albums. Another song that features Dusilova is Beyond the Hills, Beyond the Waters. An abandoned girl laments in the moonlit night. Most likely he went to see another girl. Sung in Northeast dialect, most Czech would find it hard to understand.
Za korun, za vodu, měsonček vychodzí. Rada bych věděla, kde můj milý chodzí. Včera mě sluboval, že tu večer přijde, abych ho čekala, až mi slunček vyjde.
To produce their new album, the Chechomor band hired Ben Mandelson from London, one of the busiest and most respected world music professionals. Recently he produced an album for ethno-punk band Yatha from the Siberian Republic of Tuva, and this spring he worked with the gypsy trumpet player Boban Markovic. I already had a clue about Czech music from before. At home I have albums of the composer Leoš Janáček, says Mandelson. Here is a fiery dance tune from Slovakia. Vacht runs from the Tatra Mountains to the lowlands near Bratislava, where it joins Danube. Watching the river flow, the singer makes a shocking discovery. His sweetheart is in bed with another lover. For their new album, Chekhomor invited two foreign guest artists, the Japanese flute and taiko drums player Joji Hirota and the Irish traditional singer Iola O'Leonard. Karel Holas, Chekhomor's violin player, explains, "We love Irish music and also we wanted to record a song in English, but in the end Iola decided he will sing in Irish Gaelic. The song is one of these ballads of crime and punishment narrated in full detail, a frequent custom in Moravian folklore. And that is all we had time for in today's program. Thanks for listening to this edition of Magic Carpet, which came to you on Radio Prague and was presented by Petr Daruška.
Sedí Martínek v tišnovské temnici, zabil on svou milou v zelené štěpnici, zabil on svou milou v zelené štěpnici. Lassen jaloch nýhy, třídu minou glasruch, so not a lickshill in the murder bosh, so not a lickshill in the murder bosh. Bush lim foot, tear de rear for la, near hogus and vahu, she invas a honig to scooby wim, and vas a honig to scooby. Tráva za rosenky sečená, tam byla má milá, za vlasy vlečená, tam byla má milá, za vlasy vlečená. Sik, sik, choru, sik, se frízum balov, pare všem roga jsem milým hlas, pare všem roga jsem milým.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.